Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week as we continue our journey into revival. I keep trying to move on somewhat from the subject matter that he's been having me teach on, but he's just not ready to do that yet. I was seeking him again in prayer, which I always do, asking the Lord what he'd like to teach, you know, or what he wants to say to you. And I heard the sentence that's going to be the title. It says, you want me to teach on this, the biggest idol in the modern church, the biggest idol in the modern church. And of course, you know, part of you goes, we don't have any idols in our church. I can just imagine my Baptist daddy, you know, I'd talk to him about the, hey, dad, you want to know the biggest idol in your church? What? What? I love my dad. He's a good Baptist daddy all the days of his life. Taught me so much good, and I miss him. But the Holy Spirit is not ready to move on from this, and I believe it's because he knows what's coming way more than we do, and the level of persecution that's going to rise to levels here in America like we've not ever seen before. And he's trying to prepare the remnant church, which that's you and me and others, you know, those that are not just looking for fire insurance and trying to live their best life now, you know, living as close to the world as possible, but still, you know, I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, I just want fire insurance. I still want to live my own life. Well, I'm not talking to them. That's the Christian channel, TV channels. You can watch that kind of preaching all day. Now, I'm really talking to revivalists. I'm talking to those that are, you want to lay down your life for, you know, just reading the verse again today. Greater love has no, there is no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, in that same passage, calls them his friends. Well, we're his friends, and he laid down his life for us. We're laying down our life for him and others, the ones that will be saved. Okay, that's not the message. So I have to do a little bit of review even from last week, and this may sound a little repetitive, but what do you expect from a teacher? You know, you didn't learn your ABCs by saying them once. You didn't learn your multiplication tables by saying them once. Over and over again. So we've got to make sure that in our heart, really, see, you are the temple of the living God. We've got to make sure that we don't really have any idols in our personal temple. And we sure don't want to be worshiping any kind of idol when we go to church. But he's the one that said it. I'm just praying, minding my own business. He wanted to talk to me about the biggest idol in the modern church. Well, let's review a little bit. And last week we talked about the great falling away, and I brought out the importance of John's first epistle, what we call 1 John, that he wrote about 50 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And remember, the Holy Spirit gave me that assignment to go through the book of 1 John and to find where Jesus had already taught that. And sure enough, I did. Every verse I found where Jesus taught the same things. Different wording, but it's the same truth. And so what that let me know is John was literally doing what he said in the opening verses of his epistle, that they were being faithful witnesses to tell what they had seen and heard. And that's what he's doing. 50 years later, he's still doing what Jesus commanded them right before he ascended into heaven. You can read it in Matthew 28, right near the end. And he says, I want you now to go into all the world, not just the Jews anymore. Go to every nation and teach them, of course, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, preach the gospel. But then he also said, teaching them to observe, and that means to do, everything that I taught you. Well, John's still doing that. Half a century later, when he wrote the little epistle of 1 John, he is... verse by verse, I checked it out. And, you know, he is still faithfully teaching what Jesus taught them 50 years ago. Amazing. Well, okay, we talked about that last week. And you can look, again, you can look that up in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to read it again. But now, see, this week, let's come on down to the very last verse. After John does this amazing teaching because there were false teachers and false prophets going out, they weren't denying that Jesus had risen from the dead. They weren't denying that Jesus was Lord. Otherwise, they could never get into church to teach at all, you know. But what they were doing was teaching something different than what Jesus taught. And Paul calls them antichrists, and they were dangerous, and they're dangerous today. And because that was going on, look at the last verse of 1 John, right near the last, 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, you got to understand, that letter is not written to unbelievers. That letter is written to the church. And after everything that John wrote, yeah, tremendous truths, putting the church really in remembrance of what Jesus had already taught, his conclusion of the matter to the churches, now to believers, keep yourselves from idols. So I looked up the definition. An idol is anything that is worshipped that is not the true and living God. See, you know, right in the beginning, all the way back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt make no graven image. Thou shalt not bow down. Don't try and make anything that you think is like me. In other words, don't make any image that you think is God. Of course, pagan cultures did that all the time. All kinds of mythology. And remember the god, the Philistines had the god Dagon, you know, the fish god, because that's how they made a living. And they put the Ark of the Covenant in there besides Dagon, and the next morning Dagon was on his face. They stood him back up, and the next morning, I don't remember the second or third morning, but anyway, eventually they found him on his face, and his head was broke off. See, God says, you don't know me. You can't make an image of me. Don't you try. Don't make any idol. Don't you try to make any image that you would worship to represent me. Now listen, God himself provided the image that we're to worship. Oh man, Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is the express image of God. Jesus said to Philip, he said, show you the Father, Philip. Have I been with you all this time and you've not understood? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the image of God that God provided. And we can worship Jesus. But it's got to be the Jesus, the real one, the one we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the real Jesus that God provided, the real one. What's happening, these antichrists were going out and they were teaching a different Jesus. They were, now they, the people didn't know that. These guys are going out with some, you know, some, I have traveled with the Apostle John. I have, you know, so you know, they come in with some kind of authority, but they have left the apostles. They're not teaching the same doctrine anymore. And they're not denying that Jesus is the Son of God. They're not denying that Jesus is the risen Lord, but they are teaching things opposite, different than what Jesus taught. They are antichrist in the sense of they're changing the message. And by doing that, they're presenting to the people a Jesus that does not even exist. He doesn't even really exist. So the whole letter, now I understand why John culminates his whole letter at the very end. He says, how do I end this? Boy, these false teachers are out there. False prophets are out there. They're antichrist. They're teaching with a level of authority. The people, I better warn the church. Be really careful. Don't you worship any idols. I was meditating all of this and really watching one of Bronk's messages, and right in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me just as plain as you're hearing my voice right now. And he said, the biggest idol in the church today is the fake Jesus. Fake Jesus. There was already, even in the first century, this was already happening. People going out, leaving the doctrine of the apostles, and presenting to the people a doctrine of devils, really. The end result, they're presenting to the people Jesus, who is the real Jesus, is the express image of God, but they're teaching a fake Jesus. They're teaching different doctrine, not what Jesus taught. See, there's really only, I got to say it again, there is only one gospel, and it is the one brought to us by Jesus Christ. Hebrews, the letter to the Jewish Christians in the first century starts off, I didn't look it up for you, but it starts off something like this. In many ways in the past, God has spoken to us by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's the gospel. That's, Jesus is called the messenger. He is the faithful witness. Jesus said, I don't speak anything of my own accord. What I say is what I hear my Father say. He is the faithful witness. He is the one that brought us the gospel, and there is no other. There is no other gospel. So he said to me, the Holy Spirit, and this is what he wanted to teach today, the biggest idol in the modern church is this fake Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's being taught in pulpits and churches, online, around the world, big churches, 40,000 members, 50,000 members, and that was 10 years ago when I first started studying all this. They teach about a Jesus. They present a Jesus to the people that does not exist. There is no Jesus that's like what they're teaching. I'm going to read this paragraph. I just can't improve on it. It is a fake Jesus who is not the image of God. We are not to worship any image of God except the one that God provided, his own Son, the Jesus that we see in the four Gospels. There is no other Jesus. Jesus himself is the express image of God. And I do have the verse here. Go ahead and look at it in your Bible. It's good for you. You know, have some little meat and potatoes today. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Not just milk today. Let's get a little meat and potatoes, okay? God who at, this is King James Version. God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now notice, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Whew. Jesus is the one that brought the gospel. Jesus, okay? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, now notice, and the express image of his person. That's why he could say to Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God's like? Look at me. Watch me. Watch what I say. Watch what I do. You want to know the Father? Look at me. That's why we can worship Jesus. He is the express image of God. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God, I love the word of God. I'm going to say it again. If I could put these words in all caps, if I could put bold and underline, there is no other gospel than the one that Jesus brought. That's it. There is no other gospel. Paul warned that there were already false prophets. Paul warned about this. Peter warned about this. Jude warned about this. James warned about this. And John warns about this. There were already false prophets and false teachers going into the churches in the very first century. And I'm going to quote from Paul's writings next year, they were teaching another gospel. Paul was so alarmed that he pronounced a curse upon such teachers. Now, look this one up too. It's in Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And I probably should have included the previous verses where he's alarmed that they're already so quickly being moved away to another gospel than the one Paul preached. Then he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, now notice, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They pervert it. What's pervert? They change it. They're twisting it. That's what the devil does. That's exactly how he deceived Eve in the very beginning. He took the pure word of God and he changed it. He says, no, no, that's not what it means. It means this. God's tricking you. He knows that if you eat, God had said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. And the devil says, no, you won't. No, you won't. You can sin, basically. You can disobey God. You can violate his word and you won't die. Well, that's a lie. Just look at Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death. It was then, it is now. Anyway, out to message today. But already, can you see what Paul is warning here? He says, look, there be some that trouble you and would pervert, twist, change, add to take away, pervert the gospel of Christ. But now listen to this. Watch this. But though we or an angel from heaven. See, two of the biggest perversions of the gospel on planet Earth today. Now, not the only two, but two of them. One is Mormonism, where this angel Moroni came down and supposedly told Joseph Smith, gave him some kind of golden glasses and told him about this book. And it wound up with a perverted gospel of Mormonism. Okay. Another one is Islam, where another angel, I think it was Gabriel, but another angel came and visits supposedly Muhammad in a cave and begins teaching him this doctrine of Islam. And both of those, I mean, they so pervert the gospel. They say, oh, Jesus was a good man and Jesus was a prophet. But they plainly say Jesus was not the Son of God. You talk about perversion. And both of them, they thought angels were involved. No doubt those were impersonators. Those were demons posing as angels. I'm sure they thought they were angels. But that's why Paul, right, he says, I don't care if it's a human or an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Now notice, let him be accursed. And the Greek word there is anathema. You know what anathema means. If you get anathemed, that's an eternity without God. That's what that means. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what we have received and what we taught to you, let him be accursed. Can I put that in plain English? That man that taught it, he will spend an eternity without God. Those that believe it, they will spend an eternity without God. No wonder John ends his letter, little children, keep yourself from idols. Well, the biggest idol in the church today is this fake Jesus that winks at sin, that how did Dave say that? Mamby pamby, panty waist, milk toast. Preachers. See, John's gospel, you know, a lot of people don't like the book of 1 John. It's too simple. John says, oh, you can tell the children of God and the children of the devil pretty easy. Well, golly, John, golly, golly gee, John, how would that be? He says, watch their lives. Now, nobody's perfect, but John says, if they're living righteously, you know, their habitual lifestyle is holy, righteous, those are the children of God. If their habitual lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin, you know, just, what is sin? Read your Bible, okay? Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, revelries, murders, thefts, all those things. If their habitual lifestyle, if they're living in fornication and have been for years or months or whatever, and they don't have, you know, oh, we're going to get married someday. Yeah, but that day never comes. He says, if Those that habitually live righteously, those are the children of God. Those that live habitually in sin, those are the children of the devil. What? I go to church every Sunday. I give into the offering. I sing. When the choir sings, I sing right along. I've prophesied. I've done this. I've done that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They presented all that to Jesus, too. Go to Matthew chapter 7. You'll find out Jesus said, you know, they come, we've prophesied in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I didn't look up this verse. You can look it up in your... Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You got to depart from it, my brother and sister. Anyway, so John makes it just real clear. He makes it real plain. He says those that say they have fellowship with him and they're walking in darkness, they're just simply liars. They don't know him. I don't care what they say. They do not know him. This whole series right now has got getting to know the real Jesus, not some fake Jesus that is being presented by many pulpits every Sunday. Okay. Gary, are you going to name names? Not unless he tells me to, but I have in the past. We'll see, but I don't plan on it. Now, just one example. I'm just going to give, I could give so many, but one example, they'll say things like, Jesus, his message was only to the Jews. So anything that he taught before the resurrection, where he was resurrected from the dead, anything he taught before that, oh, that's only for the Jews. That's not intended for the Gentiles. My theological answer to that is poppycock. Because Jesus said, again, at this time, I'm going to read it. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Right before he ascends into heaven, his final assignment he's given to the messengers, the apostles. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now notice, teaching them to observe, and that word means to do. Teach them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Who's he talking to? The Jews. He's talking to Peter and John, and they're all Jews. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. But he says, you go and... So that is an absolute heresy. When they stand up and say, the words of Jesus before the resurrection was only for the Jew, can you plainly see that is heresy? That is Antichrist talk. That is a Antichrist message, and that is an Antichrist in the pulpit. And I don't care if they cry... When the choir sings, sorry, it's Antichrist. Excuse me. Okay, it's Antichrist. So when they say the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to Christians, listen, that is heresy, and all who teach it and all who believe it and act on it, they're going to wind up being accursed. Paul said, "Let them be anathema." Cursed. They'll spend eternity without God. You can't be teaching and leading. You can't be destroying the family. Now listen, God is long-suffering and merciful. And when we, dear Lord, I thank God again that there's not any tapes from me trying to teach Bible studies in the 80s. At that time, I was just kind of a parrot. I hadn't heard of Dave Roberson yet. I didn't know about meditating the word in whole images. And I didn't know the value of praying a long time in other tongues. And back in the 80s, dear God, I'm glad there is not recordings of me, because I was just parroting what I was hearing on Christian TV. Some of it's good, a lot of it's bad, okay? But these ones that scoff and tell you that the Sermon on the Mount was only for the Jews and not for Christians, that is heresy. That is Antichrist. That is teaching something different than what Jesus taught. See, they're actually, without realizing it, maybe they do, but most of them I don't think realize it. Do you know they're actually calling God a liar? What? 1 John, again, back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. What do you mean I made him a liar? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, how does Hebrews start off again? God, in various manners in times past, spoke to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Well, Jesus spoke to us. He spoke the Sermon on the Mount, along with everything else in those chapters, you know. And for you to stand up and say, you don't have to obey what he said, or that doesn't apply to you, or that was only for the Jews, you're calling him a liar. Because he has spoken unto us, believers, by his Son. And you're going to stand up and say, I don't care what the Son said. God, it's bad when you put it that way, isn't it? I don't care. I don't care that he is the Son of God. I don't care that he came to bring us the word of the Father. You don't have to pay any attention to the Sermon on the Mount. Dear God, dear Lord. And these, the particular minister that I'm thinking of right now, that I quoted from it, I just copied and pasted from his own website. That, you know, Jesus would, he would laugh at the idea that the Sermon on the Mount applies to believers, from his own website. He has a church of like 40 to 50,000 members, not to count how many online. Dear, I don't know how many people. Oh, they wink at sin. They do. They say Jesus has already, and see, they're twisting. It's exactly a perversion. They're taking a truth, which Jesus has paid for all of the sin. It's truth. His blood has paid for all of the sin of Adam. But if you think that means you can continue sinning even after you receive Jesus, you don't understand the gospel, because Jesus didn't say, believe the gospel. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. We have to teach a lot on that, because there's so much false teaching on it. Now, 1 John 5:10. I want to read it again. We got time. This is so important. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What, see, really what he's saying there, in a way, when you get really born again, when you really receive Jesus and invite him into your heart, do you know he comes in? I stand at the door and knock. He's waiting. When anybody asks, Lord, forgive me, I confess my sins, and they mean it, and I believe Jesus is your Son, that you raised him from the dead, please come in, come into my heart, make me new. He does. And God says, when that happens, you're actually born again. And through that born again experience, he says, I will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts. And at that instant, you're born with a conscience that you did not have before. Now, you might have had an artificial conscience, you might have had an artificial conscience that your mom and dad kind of whooped into you, you know, don't steal, don't lie, all of that. My parents did that for me, of course. Well, that's what parents are supposed to do. But see, when you get born again, that artificial conscience gets replaced with a real one. You suddenly know right from wrong. I love my friend Homer's experience, you know. He was kind of a gangsta guy. With guns and drugs and girls and all the stuff that goes with it, and foul language and all that stuff. He said once he really got born again, he says, in the first 5 minutes, I knew all that whole life was wrong. Drugs is wrong. Sleeping around is wrong. Threatening with guns is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Oh, and by the way, I suddenly love my wife again. Which up until that moment, he hated her and she hated him with good reason. But see, what happens? You become a new creature. And through that process, God literally, he writes his laws. It's because of the nature of Christ that comes into you. You suddenly have a nature in you with a conscience, a voice that wasn't in there before. And if you deny all that, you're calling God a liar. Okay, moving on. Now, I'm going to just read, I'm going to read this sentence the way I wrote it. Any church that denies the teachings of Jesus, and says, that living in habitual sin is okay? They have erected an idol of a fake Jesus for the people to worship. But it's even worse than that. Because if they go on to say, now most of them do add the caveat, oh, we're not promoting sin. In the very next sentence, usually they take away all penalty for sin. You know, in other words, one of them, not just one, several that I've heard, they say, you know, it's almost embarrassing to Jesus if you repent for your sin. He'd go, ah, I paid for that a long time ago. You don't have to even tell me you're sorry. What? I can't go there. Right? What? You better read the first three chapters or so of the book of Revelation, what he says, what this risen Jesus, the one that you're saying his words don't apply to you, the risen Jesus, watch what he says to the churches. Repent. All of them but one. Repent. Repent. I know what's going on there. You can't hide nothing from me. You better repent. Repent, repent, repent. All of them except one. Don't tell me he doesn't call you, the church, to repent. But see, when they do that, if they take away the penalty, let's just take one like fornication, which is so common today, especially in the young people. It's just, oh, it's amazing to me that even kids that grew up in church, but it's because of the culture and the weak-kneed, panty-waisted preaching that they've heard most of their life that makes them think they can live in fornication and still be okay with God because they prayed a sinner's prayer one time. See, what they're really doing, they're not only putting up a fake Jesus, they're also bringing in now Baal worship, or worship of false gods, Baal or Ashtoreth or Ishtar, all of these that the pagans worship, Venus, all of these, quote, gods that the pagans worship, which are not gods, they're demons posing as God. Paul called it correctly, doctrines of devils. These modern churches are not only having the people worship a Jesus that does not even exist, they're also bringing in Baal worship. Like it's, you know, we don't recommend it, but there's no penalty for it. Yes, there is. The wages of sin is death. See, really, several years ago, quite a few years ago now, he had me go back and just read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and all of the prophets that associated with each time period. And when I really saw how bad it got, you know, they started bringing in literal statues of Baal, what they call Ashtoreth poles, which is a phallic symbol. You look that up. I've got to keep this PG. But, you know, phallic symbol. They're worshiping fertility gods. And then they even built, right alongside the temple, houses of prostitution, male and female, by the way, which is a very common practice in the pagan countries. Solomon, he got so turned away by all of these wives that he married, which was forbidden to do, but he married these foreign wives. Sure enough, just like God warned, they turned his heart slowly away from the living God. He actually built, in view of the temple, a temple to Molech. Molech, which is where they offered their children, their babies, their little children, as sacrifices, had them killed. What's the modern version? They were doing that to be blessed. In other words, we're going to do this, kill our child. We're going to offer our child as a sacrifice. We're going to kill our child so we can have a better life. The vast majority of abortions are done for that same reason. They don't want the responsibility, but the statistics say that it's less than 2 or 3% incest, rape, danger of the mother. The vast, let's just say 95% of all abortions are done for very much the same reason. They want to have a more blessed life and they don't want the responsibility of raising children. I want to have this child killed. Part of it also, give a little mercy here, the good people have been so brainwashed, even though science knows that life begins at conception. You know, now they know the DNA starts, that the DNA of that unique child that will never appear again in another human, ever. The DNA of that unique child forms at the moment, at the first cell division. I mean, it's just, that's a child. Leave it alone, a child will be born. Have an abortion, you kill that child. Anyway. The point that the Holy Spirit is making here, not only are these antichrist preachers presenting a fake Jesus for the people to worship, they're also, by being soft on sin, let me just put it that way, they're not bringing in a statue of Baal or a phallic symbol for Ashtoreth. But what they are doing is bringing in doctrines of devils. They're not bringing in stone idols, but they're bringing in these doctrines that the people believe. And it's in the Old Testament. Did you know at one point it got, can you imagine? I mean, I see these images in the Old Testament. You know, you had the inner court, then you had the Holy of Holies, and there's a veil right there, a thick curtain that separated where man could go and where God was behind that veil. Do you know they brought in statues of Baal right in front of that curtain? And Ashtoreth poles in the temple? You know, at one point, God said this. I could, when I read it, it just blew me away. God said to them, he says, you have become worse than the nations that I drove out in order to give you this land. What an indictment. You have become worse, Israel, my people. But now listen. You say, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. Uh-huh. It's going on today. By bringing in these doctrines of devils. We've come to church to be in your presence, God. And just like his presence was right on the other side of that veil, here's God's presence. He can see everything that's going on. And here they bring in, we're going to worship Baal right in front of you. We're going to worship Ashtoreth right in front of you. Oh, and can you see right down the road there? There's a temple we built to Molech. Oh, and do you like the prostitution houses that we put right next door? They're going to worship for fertility reasons, you know. So we want good crops. Uh-huh. Anyway, they've not only erected a fake Jesus for the people to worship, they've also established Baal worship through these doctrines. It's really no different from the Old Testament when they brought in statues of Baal and Ashtoreth into the temple of God to be worshiped. Can you imagine that? But we're doing the same thing. They don't bring in stone idols today. They bring in doctrines of devils that produce another gospel. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. This is, Paul already saw it in the first century, and you can just multiply that in spades today. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, hello, some shall depart from the faith. That's last week's message. There shall be a great falling away. What's going to cause that? They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You won't surely die. Jesus has already paid the price for these sins, past, present, and future. I mean, we're not recommending really fornication and adultery, but if you continue in those lifestyles, you'll be okay. Doctrines of seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. It is Baal worship. It's Ashtoreth worship. It's like the prostitution houses that they built right alongside the temple. Now, again, several years ago, Pastor Bronk Flint, good friend of mine, he had a vision. And I don't remember every detail of it, but I remember the essence of it. And I do know in the vision, Jesus was on the platform in his church, if I remember right. And it's a vision, or, you know, he's seeing that. And, of course, all the people are worshiping and cheering and clapping and hallelujah and everything that we would do if Jesus walked in. The real Jesus walked in. He's on the platform. You can see him. And everybody's worshiping this Jesus. And while that's going on, in this vision, this Jesus on the platform, he looks right at Pastor Bronk. Now, Bronk's the pastor. He looks right at Pastor Bronk, and he winks, gives him a little wink. And in that instant, Pastor Bronk knew that is a fake Jesus. The people are worshiping a fake Jesus, and they don't even know it. How could that happen? Doctrines of devils being spoken as truth from many pulpits around the world. Not Bronx. But he was showing him what's going on around the world, and they're worshiping a Jesus that does not even exist. It's a very, very scary thing. How prophetic that vision is. It's going on so much everywhere. It scares me. I'll just flat tell you, it scares me for the young generation, especially that just don't think a thing about shacking up together. That's what we called it in my generation, shacking up together. No, we love each other. We're going to get married. Well, why don't you wait? No, that's old fashioned. We don't need to do that, you know. And I don't know what they've heard. I don't know who they've been listening to. Probably just mostly the culture, but they might have been listening to a lot of these preachers. I feel a prompting. What's going on here? I'm getting instruction on some things to teach that I'm not really prepared today. You remember Simon the sorcerer? Now this is that after, that's the book of Acts, right? This is after the resurrection, and if I remember right, Philip went down and preached, and the people, they believed, and they saw the miracles, and they turned away from their sins, and they got saved, and then they actually got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost when the apostles came down. And Simon was a sorcerer, and he saw the physical, when the apostles laid their hands on the believers, he saw them get filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was powerful. And he wanted that power. See, he was a magician, a sorcerer of some kind before. That's all about power. Now he sees this power happening. So he offers to, he says, here, I'll give you money if you can give me this power so I can do what they're doing. Now watch what Peter says. And I don't have it looked up for you. Maybe he'll let me teach on this with the verses in a few weeks, but I think he wants it spoken today just to make a point. Peter says, thy money perish with thee. Your heart is not right. Now, Simon had already been baptized in the name of Jesus. Just you read it yourself. This is a believer, okay? What I mean is he heard the message. He's prayed whatever prayer. They baptized him in the name of Jesus, but he's got flaws, okay? Holy Ghost, you know, welcome to the group. We've got flaws. We're not teaching perfection. But now he is reverting back to his old desire, lusting for power over people. He's wanting it for not the right reason, not to be a servant. Anyway, I can't. Peter says to him, your money perish with thee. And he starts, Simon, he says, oh, I'm sorry, please pray that what you just said won't happen. And you notice Peter doesn't go, oh, it's okay, Simon. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus already paid for every sin, past, present, and future. You don't have to worry about that. No, he said, you better pray. You better repent and pray. Simon, he didn't believe that he didn't need to repent and ask forgiveness. That's not the gospel. You got to, confess your sins. When 1 John 1:9 still applies today, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to confess it and forsake it. And boy, Simon read in the riot act real quick. He didn't gloss it over. He says, you better repent. You could wind up being accursed, you know. Oh, please pray that this won't happen to me. That's just one example. Near the end of the letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, I'm coming again. When I come, I'm not going to spare. He says, I'm concerned that I've heard that there's people still committing fornication that haven't repented of it. When I come, I will not spare, because they've committed fornication and haven't repented. Doesn't sound to me like Paul thought, oh, it's okay. Jesus already paid for that, past, present, and future. You don't have to repent. You can just, doesn't sound like it to me. When I come, I will not spare. I'm telling you, that doctrine that is being preached everywhere. Now, I grew up under it to a certain extent and didn't even know what it was. And I love that. Thank God for that church. They get a lot of people saved, but there's part of it that's just really wrong. And the phrase is once saved, always saved. That is just not true. And I can prove that from, we could spend a whole afternoon going through verses in the New Testament proving that that is not the case. You can fall away if you choose to. He won't ever forsake you, but if you forsake him, remember this started off a few weeks ago there in Matthew 10, where Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Now, Jesus does not lie. Peter denied him publicly 3 times. And the next mention of Peter, after, you know, it says he went away sorrowful after their eyes met. I bet they did. The next mention, Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, you go and tell the disciples, oh, and Peter. Then later, Jesus has a one-on-one with Peter. Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus asks him 3 times, do you love me? Boy, Peter repented. Peter repented. And you know what Jesus told him? He even told him right there. He says, you're going to die a martyr's death. He said, he just let him know. He said, the scriptures plainly says Jesus was letting him know how he would glorify God through his death. And we know later on, Peter was crucified upside down. Only love is strong enough, my brother and sisters. Many in the churches today are doing the same thing without, they're presenting a, and they may be teaching what they were taught. I don't know. Only God is the judge. All I know is Paul said, if you preach any other gospel than the one that Paul preached, let that person be accursed, anathema. Be eternity, spend eternity without God. I thank God we can all repent. And then here's an instruction that the Lord gave me years ago, and he's wanting to impart to you again. You may have heard this before. Please read the 4 Gospels again, then read them again, then read them again, until there's an image of the real Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the very image of the Father. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over until there's an image of the true, one and only true Jesus formed in your heart. Because it's got to be love. See, you can, a lot of people love this fake Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. He's so good. He just winks at my sin. I can continue being a drunk, you know. I can continue. I know what the Bible says, but, you know, Jesus, the real Jesus, what he said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that doesn't really apply to me. And, you know, I can continue getting, you know, getting drunk on a pretty regular basis, or living in fornication, or I can continue stealing cars for a living, whatever it is, you know. And I love this Jesus. But then you come to a Bronc Flint Holy Ghost meeting, or any real preacher of the gospel, and they tell you, you better repent.
You got to repent and believe the gospel. You go, I got to quit getting drunk. I gotta quit living with my girlfriend in fornication. Well, I don't love that Jesus. And there's the problem. There'll be a great falling away. When you find out who the real Jesus is, you'll find out you may not love that one. We gotta love the real Jesus. And the 12 did. Again, if you want absolute proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it's real and not a lie, if those men somehow knew that Jesus did not really rise from the dead, all of them but John suffered a painful, violent death, and they preached the gospel faithfully, some of them 40, 50 years, and not one of them ever. All they had to do to stop the persecution, all they had to do was to end the torture, would just say, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Jesus is not the Son of God. All they had to do was fall away, and the torture would have stopped. And not one of them did it. Only love is strong enough. But we have to love the real Jesus. If you look at Galatians 4:19, the Galatians were being seduced by these teachers, these false teachers coming in with a different gospel, and they were starting to believe it. And Paul says, I'm concerned about you that you're already so quickly being turned away from the gospel I brought you. And that's why he says in Galatians 4:19, Paul loves these Galatian believers. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Now, why? Until Christ be formed in you. That word formed, if you look it up, is exactly the same word that we'd use for a pregnant woman, as that baby on the inside is being formed. Christ, the image of Christ, needs to be formed on the inside of each one of us. And I mean the real one, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John one, the one that does not change. If you want to go beyond that, go to Revelation chapter 1 and look at how he is today with these eyes of fire and the way when John saw him, he fell at his feet like one dead. I mean, who Christ really is now. But your love, yes, sir. Got to make sea quite kind of brought to. I'll share this with you. I don't know, a month or maybe 2 months ago, somewhere in that ballpark. It's good to go back and reread things that the Lord said to you sometimes. In my case now, at my age, 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, and I was going back rereading some of those things. And one of them was where he instructed me at an early stage. He said, seek me and praise me myself. And the way he worded that, it's like what Paul said, that I may know him, really know him. So I was spending time just doing my best to do that. And I know one way that I've done it over the years is I can't even tell you how many times I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know it's over 50. I don't know how many, really. I should have kept track, but I didn't. But there's an image on the inside of me that's still maturing, the image of the risen Christ. About 2 months ago, somewhere in that ballpark, I was meditating and reading these old things about seeking you yourself and praising you yourself, Lord. And this sentence came out of my mouth. I said, Lord, I know you're alive, and I know you can appear. You appeared to Ananias to lay hands on the Apostle Paul. You appeared to Paul. You appeared to others in the New Testament. If somehow, Jesus, you could just walk through the wall right now, just walk in the room here, and I could see you and hear you. I know it's a vision, but still, it's real. The real you. You told me to seek you yourself. If you yourself walked in the room, what would you say to me today? And instantly, he took my mind to Matthew chapter 9, if I remember right, where they let down that paralytic man. This man is so paralyzed, he couldn't walk to the meeting. He couldn't get there on his own. He can't walk. Friends had to bring him. And, you know, they couldn't get in because there were so many people. They couldn't even get into the building. So they go up on the roof, and somehow they opened up the roof and they let the man down with ropes on some kind of a bed because he's paralyzed. He can't walk. He got that? Sick of the palsy, I think is what it says. But he can't walk. He's paralyzed. The real Jesus, the real Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin saying to him, number one, your sins are forgiven. And that made the religious people mad. They said, your sins are forgiven. Then he says to that man, he says, take up thy bed and go home. And it says immediately, the man who was so paralyzed, he could not walk to the meeting. He picks it. He stands up, grabs the mat, whatever it is, probably rolled it up, put it under his arm, and he started going home. Now let's phrase that a little different. The real Jesus told him to do something impossible in the natural. I mean, the guy had every opportunity to be offended. Like, do you see me here on this mat? Did you notice that I couldn't even get to the meeting on my own? I can't walk, Jesus. What do you mean? Rise up, take up my bed, and go home. What? He could have got offended, couldn't he? But see, he acted on the words of the king. He acted on the words of Jesus. And when you act on the word of God, no word of God is without power. The word of the king is with power, my brothers and sisters. Now get back to Gary, because what I heard when he directed my mind back to that story, the real Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who told this man to do something impossible. And I had prayed, Lord, if you walked into the room right now, what would you say to me? And I've talked about it a lot. I've been battling a back condition. It causes me to walk all bent over like a 100-year-old man, which I'm a long ways from 100. And what I heard was, Gary, what I heard first, son, your sins are forgiven. Then he said my name, Gary. Now here's the way he said it to me. Gary, rise up and walk. Just one problem with that. In the natural, I can't. If I try, the pain is so intense, it's like daggers through my back. But that's what I had asked. What would you say to me if you walked in the room? He takes me right to the real Jesus. He himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You think he'd say anything different to me? He just said, Gary, your sins are forgiven. Rise up. And there was an emphasis on rise up, which I knew he meant stand up straight and walk. Gary, what'd you do? Yes, sir. I stood up as straight as I could, and it hurt like the dickens. But I was able to stand up straight, straighter than I have in a long time, and I just began to walk. It was painful, but I'm doing it. I walked back and forth. Our living room's not very big, but I walked back and forth, several times. Sat down and rested a while, got up, walked back and forth, and I've been doing my best to walk. Now, Gary, are you still walking bent over? For right now. But I'm standing, I'm remembering what he said to me. The word of the king is with power. I believe as I continue to obey the word of the king, I'm going to be walking straight without pain and without being bent over anymore. See, when you meet the real Jesus, he may not be exactly what you were told by the weak-kneed, panty-waisted preachers, milquetoast, I didn't want to forget milquetoast, who pat your little sensibilities all the time and it's okay. You know, you can, he may say to you, repent. He may say to you, you got to move out. You can't be living with your girlfriend till you guys get married. He may say to your impossibility, do it anyway. That's what he told the paralytic man. That's what he told me. Stand, rise up and walk, Gary. Yes, sir. Now, see, there's going to be many people, though, when they meet that Jesus. So I don't love him. There's going to be a great falling away, too. But that's not going to happen to you. Come away with me, my beloved, is the cry of the Spirit to the church. I recommend those blueprint prophecies at bronclint.org. You'll see it on the homepage. Get it in MP3 format. Get it in PDF format. Get those prophecies in you and then do what they say. Come away with me. No fake idols for us. We only worship the one true Jesus, who is the express image of the Father. Love you so much. Gotta go. See you again next time. Bye-bye for now.